Penguin Random House Audio presents How to Be Right, The Art of Being Persuasively Correct by Greg Gutfeld, read for you by Steve Kramer. Introduction. Lessons are things you wish you learned before you learn them. Greg Gutfeld, Deuteronomy, Chapter 23, Verse 171, December 21, 2014. An accurate quote. I was there when I said it. It's not enough to be right these days, especially when you're right and outnumbered by leftists who think you're evil or dumb because you happen to disagree with them. You can be lawful, patriotic, decent, reasonably hygienic, and still be laughed off the planet by media snarks, academic snots, and government shills, primarily because you're lawful, patriotic, decent, and reasonably hygienic. Being right offers no protection in a world where emotions rule logic and feelings trump fact. Bring up an unspeakable truth, perhaps in response to a casual but political conversation at work, and you will likely be condemned as rude, mean-spirited, or bigoted. The trifecta of treachery. The world is moving away from fact-based debate and drifting into fact-free rhetoric. Whether it's about criminal justice, gun control, or economic inequality, a fact is never safe in the face of compassionate outrage. The truth, people, could use a little help here. In the modern cultural terrain, we, the sensible, are the hunted, which is why it is time to learn how to start winning a few arguments. It's important not just to confirm normal, common-sense assumptions, but to actually convert the uncertain, to win over those who want to be won over, and sharpen the spear of facts and puncture the flatulent balloon of sanctimonious outrage. We better find them soon before America turns into one giant daycare center for dipshits. In a war of ideas, the truth is the nuclear option, but only if you know how to load and drop the bomb. If all you can do is keep screaming at the other side, you lose. Because sooner or later, one of you will die, and you'll be screaming to yourself. And then the only people who will hear you will be the pedestrians passing by the psych unit. Trust me, they aren't enamored by your open robe. I've been there. The country is divided, not just in politics, but pretty much everywhere, it seems. We have two sides, a ping-pong of shouters and amplifiers, echoing talking points they know their audience will digest with unmitigated glee. A frustrated conservative could simply blame the current malaise on President Obama, his beloved appeasing academics, and a slobbering, spineless media. Like-minded friends will nod because you're right. A liberal will look at the current foreign policy mess and blame it on evil Bush, evil Republicans, evil global warming, high temperatures lead to more violence in unstable countries, evil trans fatty acids, or evil women wearing sashes that say, Miss Florida. And let's not forget, evil Fox News. At this blame fest, the brain-battered liberal audience applauds. Meanwhile, libertarians sit back, point, and laugh, and count themselves lucky they aren't in any position of responsibility. They will always be right, because all they want is for the government to get off the backs of people selling weed. Also, ecstasy, and some forms of crank. Who can argue with that? As the old saying goes, it's easy to be a holy man on a mountain, especially when that mountain is on Rand Paul's ranch. In this carnival of barkers, how do conservatives always end up on the back foot? Sometimes this is a self-inflicted wound, as when a conservative bungles a simple question about women and abortion. That's why Todd Akin of Missouri ended up not only on the back foot, but on the hind foot. Meanwhile, the other side can shout at will, and for the most part, the media will embrace the message. To survive and win, we must do better. This book is designed to show you how. Yes, it's an uphill battle. With the mainstream media dominating the message, we don't need another Akin. We need two Ronald Reagans and a Winston Churchill, but with better hair. We need our Obamas. Young, attractive voices who can sell fracking to the Arabs the way Obama sold himself to America. You have to be more prepared than anyone else in the room, even if you aren't planning on speaking up. Read 2 articles on a subject every morning and you'll shine. Trust me, it's how I make my living. After operating in the narrow, repetitive fields of political posturing, I can attest that confirming your viewers' desires is important. That is why I keep my shirt on, but my hair combed. I think it's important that I offer my viewers an oasis where they can find solace, humor, like-minded thinkers, Fiji water, and packs of camels. I confirm what many in America think, and I think I'm right, as I think they are right, too. Why we argue. Most arguments are about authority and credibility. All arguments come down to this. You want to say, "because I said so," and leave your opponent speechless. So winning the argument means the matter is settled when you have demonstrated that you are right and they are wrong, even if they can't admit it or are tied up in the trunk of your car. That means it's important to be right and win not only arguments, but followers. The whole point of arguing is to defeat your opponent by looking great without hurting your knuckles or spilling your mojito. If you're a conservative and you're talking only to conservatives, you're no better than a fish in an aquarium at a rest home. The residents there find you appealing, but only because it's a predictable comfort. Most people have other options, and as long as you fail to reach them in a persuasive manner, they will never listen. They will never even visit. And if they never listen, they will never change their minds or come around to thinking beyond the information given to them by the better communicators in the media. Some like to think that yelling the same talking points is going to make a difference. That's like an English speaker yelling the same sentence to someone who doesn't speak English, expecting a different result. I make this mistake a lot in my basement when I'm there checking on my intern program. Power isn't yelling. It's having the facts and being able to state them logically. And that's what this is about, really. Power. Quiet confidence trumps bluster so effortlessly that the loudest voices in the room feel it the most. Every time I yell, I feel like a schmuck. I don't expect ideological opposites to come around to your way of thinking. You're talking guns to Quakers who are happy to be armed with spitballs. If they hate you, they hate you. I speak from daily experience. What I'm talking about are truly open-minded people sickened by the years of phoniness about what passes for hope and change. You don't win them over by trying to replace Obama's bullshit with your own. You win them over by making them afraid to look dumb. Just explain why what appeared to them as practical wasn't, and why better ideas are at hand. There's a reason Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert are successful. They have an attractive ideology, touchy-feely TV drama liberalism, and an attractive foe, clunky conservatives with frozen smiles, and an entire industry-slash-delivery system that agrees with them, the media minus Fox News. If the Republican Party imploded and conservative mouthpieces disappeared, those shows would dry up too. We, me included, keep them in business. John, Steve, I'll take 10%. It also helps to admit that their success isn't necessarily unfair. True, they do preach to a passive, emasculated choir. The media loves them, and they love them back. Both shows were wildly popular on campuses because those campuses are composed entirely of liberals. Viewers are captured in a liberal cage, whose zookeepers are maniacally shoveling ideology. It's San Quentin for force-fed leftism. But they've also been extremely adept at exposing weaknesses in the conservative shoutosphere. If we screwed up on TV, that snippet will be there on The Daily Show, followed by a Stewart smirk. We make it easy. They make it entertaining. We could help them less. Why not make them work for their paychecks? Why are conservative pundits paying for John Oliver's swimming pool? The limey can't even swim. Persuasion. It's not enough to think you're right. To be persuasive, you must be obviously...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?